Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love him. He's so good to us. He loves us so much. You know, good things are happening in the lives of those who trust and adore the Lord. Now, I want to talk about the focus of the Father. The Father has a focus. From the beginning, one scripture said, Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And when we first met the Lord, that, you know, it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then it said, and the earth was void and desolate, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And we understand that all the stars were not shining. The sun itself was not shining. But the Lord, when the Lord said, let there be light, that was his glory. We covered that many times in other broadcasts. But the focus of the Father is still on redemption to man. Not only man, it's on, he's going to create a new, the end game, he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And there won't be any sin in it this time. See, the Lord is systematically getting rid of sin. And he knew what would go wrong way back. Because one scripture says that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. God knew that something would happen. But he had to have a protocol ready when it did. And of course, you know the story, Lucifer challenged God and all creation, and he was going to make himself the king of everything, just like Absalom tried to make himself king of Israel. So, and then you see the same, you know, he tried to usurp everything from God, and he's not qualified, of course, but anything that listened to him gets to be in his kingdom. So the Lord sent his only begotten son to redeem us back to the Father. And so the focus of the Father is still on man, on our redemption. And he takes every child seriously. He loves his people. When the Father sees somebody that can believe him, he raises up people. See, he sees through time. He's not like us. We have to wait and see somebody's born. God knew that person was going to be born and one day become hungry for the Lord. So he raised up preachers ahead of time. The Lord, he always has preparation in place. I'm going to say that again. The Lord always has preparation in place. Now, sometimes we have to use our authority and pray and persevere to link what God already has in place with who can benefit from it. That's why when I do these broadcasts, I pray that the Lord use them. The Lord has, he told me do it to, my faith is to do as many broadcasts as I possibly can. And he would send people to the website. So, those of you who got sent by the Lord, this is, you know, we're working together to a greater goal. Now, I may be doing this broadcast as often as I can. And you, the hearer, that you listen to it, and I'm showing people what do I, you know, I told a friend of mine that the Lord, my ministry helps people to know what to watch out for. I've seen churches split. I've seen great moves of God come to a cold end over silly things. A lot of times it's, you know, and these things need to be taught by somebody. And the Lord chose me to talk about what I talk about. Because so many people have gotten discouraged by cold religion. Now, here's a good example. I want to see everybody don't share the same focus with the Lord. And that's a problem of itself. Before this broadcast, the Lord gave me Judges 8. Now listen to what happened. This is, Gideon had just won a great victory. And he, with 300 men, turned the tide of Israel, turned the captivity, and scattered the great armies that came like grasshoppers. You know, when you start in chapter 6, how in the world can God do something like this with 300 men? But he did. And Gideon was the point man. Gideon had the anointing. The angel called him a mighty man of valor. He didn't see it. He said, I'm the least of the tribes. And I'm the least house in the tribe. But nevertheless, he became that mighty man of valor, just like the angel said he was. Now, he did such a good job that the men of Ephraim got upset with him. Judges chapter 8. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus? Why have you served us this way, that you didn't call us, that thou callest us not, when you went to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. Now, their focus was on preeminence and pride. They wanted the praise and glory that comes from winning a battle, to the point that they were about to be dangerous against Gideon. But Gideon was wise, and he said to them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb, or Oreb and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. So Gideon had to use wisdom and appease these guys, because their focus was on pride, not the safety and protocols of Israel. They were ashamed that they couldn't fight like Gideon. See, I don't say that lightly, because when you turn over chapter 12, here we go again. Now, this is a few generations down. These are the children of those people. They came against Jephthah. Now watch this. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said to Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon and did not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. Now they ready to fight. At least their parents, the generations prior, or their predecessors, didn't try to draw blood. They were upset. They were able to be appeased. But now this is a more wicked generation. And you see this trend throughout Judges. They started out obeying the protocols of Joshua and then Judah. And then they got to where they wouldn't even listen to Judah. When it came time for them to fight when they raped the concubine to death, the men of Benjamin, then, and it was time to go do battle with 28,000 men or more or less, but they said, who shall go up? The Lord said, Judah shall go up. Then Israel went up and got their nose punched twice. They lost two big battles and almost a third one before God gave them victory, because they broke protocol. They didn't let Judah go up first. Israel went up first. See, they're diminishing. By the time you get to the kings, they don't even ask God for help anymore. You know, God, in the book of Isaiah, the prophet was sent to the king to encourage him. But he was so backslidden, he didn't seek out the prophet. You know, when it came down to Jeremiah, another 100 years later, more or less, Jeremiah said, okay, you know, he threw down, he said, you're going into captivity. And they still didn't ask God to help them. Read it for yourself. They did not ask God to turn the tide. They asked the prophet what the Lord said. Then they got mad at his answer. They didn't ask the Lord. One time the Lord said, in Ezekiel's day, if you find so many righteous men, I'll let them stay in the land. There wasn't nobody They had apostatized, folks. See, every generation, if you start out with an evil focus, then the next generation is going to be worse. Me and my sister was talking about that, about marriage. Sometimes there are families that do right, and they have a lot going for them. They've been blessed by God. But somebody married somebody they shouldn't, and that ends the line. That's how serious marriage is. If you need to pray about who you marry and why. You need to let the Lord, first of all, you need to be on board with the focus of God. Your focus need to match his so that your whole life will be like it ought to be. But if you marry somebody with a dead focus, they can end your line. They can stop you. Your children may end up in hell over a fool. If you're a wise man and love God and you marry a devil woman, she can cause your children to be lost forever. You're going to really have to believe God if you marry a devil. And if you're a godly woman and you always wanted a godly husband and you marry a devil, that can go bad. That can go terribly wrong, especially if you don't seek the Lord about how to deal with that devil husband of yours. So marrying the right person is important. And my sister told me about people who did things that I didn't know about. I heard about, when we lived in the village, I moved when I was 3, so a lot of people I didn't know. But she told me about a lady. They were challenged too, but she loved God, and she took her children to church. She had over 130 descendants. And at a funeral, her children sang, and they could sing. They were good singers. And they sang at her funeral, all of them. Now, she didn't have 100-some children, but I'm talking about descendants. She had a lot of godly people came from her house. But see, the enemy would send dead people, dead-minded people, dead-focused people to destroy that, just like an 8-ball on a pool table. Generations, the focus. See, you got to understand, the father's focus is not like the cold. It's not. It has nothing to do with cold religious. The focus of cold religious people. Jesus said, "Be aware of the Pharisees be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And again, I'm gonna tell you the definitions God gave me. I said, "Lord, how does the leaven of the Pharisees differ with the leaven of Herod?" And this is what he said. He told me 3 statements. He said, the Pharisees love praise, Herod loves power, and Satan loves both. So you got to make sure that kind of leaven don't exist in you. The desire for praise of men and power over men. You gotta be aware, because Satan loves both. He loves praise and power. That's why he's Satan and not Lucifer. He's not what God created him to be. He's an enemy to his own anointing. And he still has one. He was anointed for a glorious purpose. He's just like Saul. Saul was anointed to be king, and he became the enemy of the state. And he put in policies that were, he couldn't keep his word anymore. He didn't keep his word to David. He was supposed to let David marry his oldest daughter. He didn't do it. He backed out. Then he tried to destroy David by letting him marry his younger daughter. You know, he felt like she's going to be a burden. She's going to get him killed. I'll let her get him killed. You know, sometimes people are so childish. A person that's overly childish they won't grow up. They're immature. Some women and some men can be so immature, they'll destroy a good person because they're so immature, emotionally needy, and they never grow up. And so in Saul's power-driven mind, he thought that Michael would be detrimental to David. And the word says that. I didn't make this up. I wouldn't even think of something like that. And no godly person would. But a devious person will. So, he didn't let David marry his oldest daughter. Then he had him to marry Michael. Then she loved David more than her father. Then he took her and had her marry somebody else. He was trying to destroy David. That was supposed to break David's heart so he'll be weak in battle and get himself killed. Devious, the focus of a Herod, the focus of a Pharaoh, the focus of the Pharisees. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland last night. The woman that had a spirit of infirmity, Jesus healed her on the Sabbath day. And then those wicked Pharisees got angry and jealous and frustrated against Jesus because he healed a daughter of Abraham on the Sabbath day. When the word says that you can get your ox or your donkey out of a ditch on the Sabbath day. They care, and Kenneth Copeland said they care more about a donkey than a daughter of Abraham that should be free in the Lord. That's how mad people can be. That's how crazy cold religion really is. They hated when Peter and John went to the beautiful gate and Peter said, "Look on us." The man, he said, he was asking for alms. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give. Rise up and walk." He jumped up and ran. He leaped all over that temple. He caused a stir. People were, the loving people of God are focused just like the Father. And they love Jesus. And they knew that it was Jesus that healed because that's the kind of thing Jesus did. And now his disciples are doing it. But guess what? The viperous Pharisees hated it. They arrested the apostles, but when they saw the man standing there, the lame man standing there, and they realized that Peter and John them had been with Jesus, they could say nothing against it. And then they threatened them. See, they never repented. Now you know why the Father had to make hell. That's why he had to make hell. You got to get rid of that kind of evil. That is not redeemable. That's why the Father had to make hell, to get rid of stuff like that. People that are cold and hearted and satanic in the name of religion too. That's why he had to do it. For people that kill babies. For people that are murderers and won't repent. It's one thing if you really want redemption. The devil made a fool of you. You live your life in evil. God is still so focused on redemption that he will forgive us when we're wrong. And we know we were wrong. The Lord loves his people. He saved all kind of evil people. People that did atrocities for whatever reason. If they really wanted redemption, he'd give it to them. Jesus died for everybody, folks. See, Jesus is focused on the Father. His focus is just like the Father's. If you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. So people that are anointed, even a man that's anointed, Saul was anointed. Lucifer was anointed to do something, but that don't mean they'll do it. People can have abilities. They can have spiritual gifts, spiritual understanding. If they have not love, they're worthless. Just like Corinthians 13 says. You can give your body to be burned. You can do all these things. But if you ain't got love in you. See, the Pharisees did good things for praise. They wanted something out of it. Jesus had to spell it out. Do your alms in secret. Do your fasting in secret. If you're going to fast, wash your face. Don't go around looking like you're fasting. They love praise. And some people, though they're anointed, though they love God, I guess, they still want praise. The leaven is what caused people to cross the line. That's why God had to make hell. Sin don't just evaporate, and sin can't work without a host. So in order to get rid of sin, you have to get every host, angels, demons, men, and put they behind in hell. And no, God didn't initially make hell for men, but anybody who follow after Satan in his ways and be leavened by, they're going to share in his demise. And that's justice, folks. See, the men of Ephraim, they wasn't focused on the country. They wasn't focused on the Father's heart. And even in Gideon's day, the 20,000 that were afraid to fight, they was focused on their safety. They wasn't focused on the Father's will. They wasn't focused on the covenant of Abraham. They wasn't focused on the needs of the country and the covenant that God made with Abraham. They were focused on their own well-being. So the cowards, they left first. Then there was 10,000 left. Started out with 30,000. Now you got 10,000. And the Lord said, it's still too many. So the 300 that put their hand in the water, they bowed down on their head was up. They bowed down on their knees to the lake. They put their hand in and they lapped the water like a dog would in their hand. But see, that they were elevated. They could still see. They were more vigilant. But the people that put their face down in the water, they were less wise. Now, they were not cowards. They were ready to fight, but they were not as wise. And the Lord sent them home. Because when the people's heart was so hardened, God had to do this victory with a small group of people. So, in your ministry, when God isolates you, set you apart, he give you a sanction, when nobody will listen, nobody read your books, nobody listen to you, nobody invites you to preach, don't want to hear you when you try, watch what the Holy Spirit will have you do. If he called you and you have a relationship with the Father, you seek the Lord when other people are not seeking him, and you're ready and willing, chomping at the bits to do something for Jesus. See, you share his focus. Well, cold religion is going to be aware of that, and they're not going to want anything to do with it. Anybody with a satanic mind, anybody that loves praise and power will be an enemy against you every time, 100%. Now, I'm going to read what God gave me. This made so much sense to me. And this time, I'm going to read the whole thing again. Now, this is in response to a question that I asked the Lord. See, the Lord is wise. I said, Lord, how can a man be that evil? And this is what he said. All who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. No matter how hard they attempt to hide it, it's there. Only people who believe God love God. This is so powerful. This is so important to understand. Only people who believe God love God. Only people who seek the Lord through Jesus Christ with faith know God. All who love the world have enmity against God, and they will not enter in the glories of the Lord. They will not know. God is not trying to keep them out, but they will not because they love the world. I read that part again. All who love the world have enmity against God, and they will not enter in the glories of the Lord, nor can they value it. Now that's it. They can't. They will never yield. They are opposite. They are opposite to God's ways, character, word, everything. They are fallen. They remain fallen, saith the Lord. They are not subject to me, nor can they be. Only those who love and come to truth will receive salvation. All others will reject it according to the parable of the sower. This is a word that God gave me in response to something. I said, how can a man be that evil? See, this word ended that all others were rejected according to the parable of the sower. People are living, you know. If you don't have the word in you and it don't grow roots in you, and you let the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, then you become an enemy against God. And once you have enmity against God, see, once you love the world somewhere, look at the beginning again. It says, all who love the world system have one thing in common. It don't matter what you love about the world system either. Just something over there, hatred, strife. Some people, they lack temperance, they easily offended. If you love that kind of stuff, you're going to share an unconditional enmity with God. If it's stealing, if it's lust, if it's pride, preeminence, if you love praise, and if you love power, or if you love both, and some are more wicked than others. And some people, their focus is divided. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. Or you're going to serve one and despise the other. It's got to happen. There's no two ways about this. Now, this was kind of new to me. All who love the world system have only one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. Even if they try to hide, no matter how they attempt to hide it, it is there. So the focus of the world will cause people to be an enemy against God. Every time. You have to not only love God, but drive out the darkness. God told Israel to take the promised land and drive out the inhabitants. We're supposed to receive the promised land, salvation, and drive out all darkness. We're supposed to walk in the God kind of love and drive out every form of wicked darkness. You cannot be dedicated fully to God with a satanic mindset. A leaven of a satanic mindset will cause you not to do the things of God, and also to ultimately be an enemy against God. So we see the men of Ephraim, they're more concerned about their pride than the welfare of the nation. They didn't share the Father's heart. The men that Jeremiah warned. Now, some people, they saw his point. Some wanted to put him to death. They didn't share the Father's heart. Same thing in Ezekiel's day. I love people. It used to baffle me all the time when I would see God pour his heart out to people. And then they go do something else. You know, this is Ezekiel 9. It says, he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, then even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. He's talking to angels, you know. And behold, six men came from the way of the high gate, which lie toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, and a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids, little children, and women. but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and began at my sanctuary, and they began at the ancient men which were before the house. See, judgment starts at the house of God, folks. Verse 7, and he said to them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? See, Ezekiel had the heart of God, the heart of redemption. But God had to do judgment at this point, and he didn't understand. Until God said, then, verse 9, then said he to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me, also mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense upon their way upon their head. Now this is the Lord talking. And now what? Now Ezekiel understands. And verse 11, the last verse says, and behold, the man clothed with the linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. See, the focus of God and the focus of man can be two different things. The focus of Jesus, it matches the focus of the Father. The focus of the apostles and prophets in the book of Acts matches the focus of Jesus, which is the focus of the Father. But the focus of Ephraim and the Pharisees and Herod is no better than the focus of Satan. Consider these things, because when the Lord returns, there will be no mask on no face.